Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week, this same time, to Bible Crossfire. We've been talking about the last couple of weeks about, can a person be saved by faith only? Is a person saved by faith only? And John 3:16 is the most common verse used to try to prove that. We'll talk about John 3:16 in just a minute, why it doesn't prove salvation is by faith only. But first, let's take this call. If possible. Tim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Should a Christian go bankrupt?
That's a very good question, Tim. I appreciate you calling with that very good Bible question. You know, it's in our country, it's, quote, legal to go bankrupt, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. I mean, it's legal for me to divorce my wife for incompatibility and remarry. That's legal in Alabama, but that's not right in God's eyes, according to Matthew 19:9, right, Tim?
It's illegal to kill your kids before they're born, too, but don't make it right.
That's a great point, Tim. Tim, it is legal in most states to kill your kids before they're born, abortion, but that doesn't make it right. Now, so is bankruptcy, we know it's legal, but does that make it right from a biblical standpoint? And the answer is absolutely not. I'm going to show you a verse first in the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament anymore, but I'd like to show you this verse because I think it helps us understand what we're talking about here. Psalms 37:21 says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." So if a person in the Old Testament times borrowed money and did not pay it again, he was considered wicked. And then we see the same thing in different words. In Romans 13:8, it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So we're not to owe a man anything. When we borrow something from somebody, we have agreed that we're going to pay it back. If we don't pay it back, even if the government says, okay, you take bankruptcy, you don't have to pay it back. Even if the government says that, just like Tim said, it doesn't make it right any more than doing an abortion. Just because the government says it's okay. So the government says it's okay for me not to pay him back, but I've already agreed to pay him back. And if I don't pay him back, guess what? I've got their money. That's their money. I borrowed it. It belongs to them. If I decide I'm going to keep it, even if the federal government says it's okay, I'm stealing from them. So any verse that condemns stealing, like Ephesians 4:29, let him that stole steal no more. Any verse that condemns stealing condemns us not paying back what we owe. And bankruptcy does not change that. Just like Tim said, just because bankruptcy is legal, that doesn't make it right before God any more than divorce and remarriage is legal, makes it right before God. Or any more than abortion is legal, makes it right before God. Tim, got a follow up.
No, I agree with everything you said. I knew the answer before I called.
Thank you for calling, Tim. It's a good call.
Okay.
Good question. Appreciate that call. I probably hadn't touched on this in a while, but I needed to because there's so many people out here claiming to be Christians that have taken bankruptcy or that don't pay their debts. They think it's okay because the government says it's okay. That doesn't make it okay. Our wicked government says something's okay. Therefore, that makes it okay even when. But God says it's not okay? Tim had such a good argument. That would, if just because the government says it's okay makes it okay, that would mean abortion's all right because the government says abortion. The murder of innocent little babies, okay, because they say it's legal. No, it's not legal to kill babies. It's not legal not to pay your debts. Even if the government says, oh, you can take bankruptcy and you don't have to pay it, that doesn't make it right. God says, owe no man anything. If you agree to borrow some money and to pay it back, then you have to fulfill your agreement. And when you don't, you're in effect stealing from somebody. Let me read that passage in Ephesians 4 one more time just to make sure you understand what it says. Ephesians 4:28. I think I said 29, but it's 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. We work with our hands, not only to support our family, but to help those who are less fortunate than we are. The verse begins, though, by saying, let him that stole steal no more. It's covetousness when you steal. When you borrow money from somebody and then you keep it, bankruptcy or not bankruptcy, and you don't pay it back, that is not only committing the sin of stealing, that's committing the sin of being covetous. And Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, covetousness is idolatry. We're putting money before God. If you have a Bible question or comment, and that was a great question by Tim. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Now here's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People make the argument, well, it's telling us what to do to be saved. All it says is believe. Well, that means all you got to do is believe. They don't really believe that logic is valid. Let me explain how I can know they don't believe that's valid. Because here we have a passage like Matthew 6:14-15. Jesus says there, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So God is going to forgive us if we forgive others their trespasses. Does that mean all we got to do is forgive others? We don't even have to believe in Jesus? Does that mean all we have to do is forgive others? We don't have to repent of our sins? Everybody knows it doesn't mean that. Everybody knows when it says, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. It's not saying you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved. It's just saying you do have to forgive others to be forgiven of your sins. That's what it's saying. And so apply that exact same reasoning to John 3:16. John 3:16 is not saying all you have to do to be saved is believe. Well, that would rule out repentance. That would mean a gay, quote, a gay believer could be saved. He believes in Christ, but he doesn't repent. No. John 3:16 is not saying you don't have to repent to be saved. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you do have to believe to be saved. It's not saying, it doesn't say believe only. That's what people add. They add the word only to John 3:16. How about Acts 11, verse 18? Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You got to repent to receive spiritual life. But you know, it doesn't mention belief there. Does that mean you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved? All you got to do is repent? Of course not. It's not telling you everything you have to do to be saved in one verse. You're never going to find a single verse in the whole Bible that tells you everything you need to know on any subject. That's not the way the Bible's designed. People broke up the Bible into chapters and verses. To know the whole truth, you got to study the whole truth. So Acts 11:18 says you got to repent to be saved, to have spiritual life. It's not saying all you got to do is repent, that you don't have to believe. Other passages, like John 3:16, for example, say we got to believe. Neither is John 3:16 telling us all we have to do to be saved is believe. It's saying you do have to believe, but other passages, like Acts 11:18, say you got to repent to be saved. And then how about 1 Peter 3:21? It says, baptism doth also now save us. I don't think God's going to say baptism saves us if you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But it doesn't mention hide nor hair about believing in Christ or repenting of our sins. All it says you got to do to be saved is be baptized. Does that mean that's all you got to do? Or are we supposed to go to other passages and see that besides baptism, we also have to believe in Christ, like John 3:16, to repent of our sins, like Acts 2:38, like Acts 3:19, like Acts 11:18. These passages we went over last week, we got to repent of our sins to be saved. Belief by itself will not save you. Neither will repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. He's not saying all you have to do is repent, meaning you don't have to believe in Christ. No, you got to believe in Christ. It's just not mentioned in that verse. Same logic with John 3:16. You got to believe in order to be saved. But it's not saying you don't have to repent to be saved. It's just not mentioned in that verse. Neither verse of those two verses mentioned you have to be baptized, but 1 Peter 3:21 says you got to be baptized to be saved. So does Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. Now, we all agree the Bible teaches we're saved by faith. I mean, Romans 5:1, for example, says, therefore being justified by faith. We are justified or saved by faith. That's not the question, though. Are we saved by faith only? All we have to do to be saved is believe. No, you got to repent. You got to obey. The question is, when are we saved by faith? Before or after that faith leads us to obey God in baptism, for example? If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Let me use an Old Testament illustration here. Hebrews 11:30. Let me read that. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, did the walls of Jericho fall down by faith? Yeah. When? After they walked? after their faith. Faith meaning we believe that God will knock the walls down if we do what he says. But God didn't knock the walls down right when they believed that. No, not until their faith acted. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They had to walk around that city 13 times 7 days for the walls to fall by faith. They didn't knock the walls down. God did. We're not saying you're saved by your works or your obedience. We're not even saying you're saved by your faith. You're saved by the death of Christ. The question is, what conditions do you have to meet to be saved by the death of Christ? Faith and obedience. The walls of Jericho fell by faith after they were compassed about 7 days, after they acted, after their faith acted. It's the same way with New Testament salvation. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 proves that. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we're children of God by faith. Nobody denies that. When, though? When do we become children of God by faith? Well, verse 27 begins this with this little word for. F-O-R means to introduce the reason. In other words, the reason you're a child of God by faith is because you have been baptized into Christ. The way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. And notice, don't overlook the fact that you're baptized into Christ, which means if you haven't been baptized, you're not in Christ. You're not in a saved relationship with Christ. You're not in fellowship with Christ. Not until you're baptized. This verse says you're baptized into Christ. So we're saved by faith. There's no doubt about it. The walls of Jericho fell by faith, but not until they walked. We're saved by faith. There's no doubt about it. Galatians 3 says we've become children of God by faith, but not until we're baptized, according to the next verse. You become a child of God by faith by being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. I didn't write that. God did. You can either believe it or not believe what God says. We're talking about salvation by faith. Are we saved by faith only? We talked about a number of things last week that proved that was wrong. Notice any verse that teaches you a person, a sinner has to be baptized to be saved would prove you're not saved by faith only. No, it's at least faith plus baptism. And every verse that tells us the purpose of baptism, water baptism, every verse in the Bible that tells us the purpose tells us it's in order to be saved. Here are some of those passages. Mark 16, 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So are we saved by faith alone? Obviously not according to Jesus. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It takes both to be saved from your sins. You're not saved by faith only. Acts 2:38, Peter told some believers, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're saved by faith only, these people would have already been saved. They were already believers, but he is telling them to do something to get their sins forgiven, to repent and be baptized. So they were already believers. They had to believe. They had to repent of their sins. They had to be baptized. How about what Ananias told Saul to do in Acts 22:16? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Saul had already believed on the road to Damascus 3 days before, but now he's being told to do something to get his sins washed away. He's being told to be baptized to get his sins washed away. If God had wanted to say you have to be baptized to get your sins washed away, how could he have said it any more clear than that? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Nobody disagrees with the fact that it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. It's not the power's not in the water. It's not the water washing away the sins. It's the blood of Christ, Revelation 1 verse 5. But when does the blood of Christ wash away our sins? It's when we're baptized, according to Acts 22 verse 16. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. We've already read Galatians 3, 26 and 27. 1 Peter 3, 21. Baptism doth also now save us. All of the passages that tell us the purpose of baptism say the purpose of baptism is salvation. Therefore, we're not saved by faith only. It takes, as the famous hymn says, it takes trust and obedience. Again, if you want to get on the air with your Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Let me review a little bit of what we said last week. Are we saved by faith only? That's the question. Well, the 1956 version of the Methodist Creed book reads this way. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. So the Methodist Creed book says we are saved by faith only. But that stands in contrast to James 2:24. Here's what God said in James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The Methodist Creed book, a lot of other churches say you're saved by faith only. James 2:24 says you're justified not by faith only. Who are you going to believe, the Methodist Creed book, or are you going to believe the Bible? God said you're not saved by faith only. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You have to obey Jesus to receive eternal salvation. It's not enough just to believe. You also have to obey Christ. Hebrews 5:9. If you don't believe that, you're going to have to cut Hebrews 5:9 right out of your Bible because it says you've got to believe to receive eternal salvation. Dean from Ohio, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'm a truck driver, and I have a question about working 7 days a week. Not taking that seventh day off, but we're out here sometime for months at a time. And I just wonder how God would view that.
Okay. So first of all, the law, the Sabbath law is no longer binding. Okay. It is not wrong to work on Sunday, but there's a caveat, as long as you don't miss church. The problem is not the working per se, because the Sabbath is no longer binding. The problem is missing church. Now, let me read. There's a lot of passages I could read, but one that I'd like you to show you, Dean, is Colossians 2, 14 through 17. It says, talking about Jesus, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is the Christ. The Sabbath is an Old Testament law, like animal sacrifices, circumcision, the prohibition against eating pork and catfish. He makes that clear. Jesus blotted out these ordinances, took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. And one of the ones he mentions as an example of one of the ordinances he blotted out is the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath in verse 16. So he says, let no man therefore judge you with respect to that. Nobody can say you're sinning if you work on, actually, the Sabbath was Saturday. Sunday's never been the Sabbath. So it's not wrong to work on Saturday. It's not wrong to work on Sunday. It's never been wrong to work on Sunday. It's not wrong to work on Saturday because the Old Testament law is no longer binding. The problem, Dean, is when you work on Sunday, are you missing church? Are you missing church, Dean? Go ahead. I'm talking to you right now, Dean.
No, sir, because I'm listening to you.
Well, that's not actually church. I appreciate you listening to me, but that's not church. Here is Hebrews 10:25. This is a command of God, not just a suggestion or a recommendation. It says, well, I'm going to start in verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The churches we read about in the New Testament came together on the first day of the week to do the Lord's Supper and have preaching, for example, Acts 20, verse 7. Now, I appreciate you listening to me on the radio. Please continue on, but that's not going to church. This is a command that we do. I'm going to put it in our vernacular. We don't skip church. Hebrews 10:25. Do not skip church.
That was really my main question because I'm out here 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time and I'm not at home to go to church. I try to go to church sometimes at truck stop ministries and things such as that, but a lot of those are closing down. So really all I have is the radio to rely on, family talk and stuff like that. I listen to preaching.
So what about just going, instead of a truck stop church, why not just go to a regular church wherever you're going to be?
Well, it's usually a parking issue. Can't get a rig on that road, thing. It makes it. I'm not saying it's impossible, and it may be something I look at more. Kind of planning ahead and seeing where you can go, but it's not an easy thing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I see. It's not easy. Let me call you after the program. We'll talk about it some more, Dean. Thanks for your call. Okay.
Yes, sir. You have a good day. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I hope Dean's still listening. You know, the Bible teaches we have to provide for our families. If any man won't work, neither should he eat. If any man doesn't, support his family, he's worse than infidel. 1 Timothy 5. But Matthew 6 is discussing the necessities of life, food, clothing, and things. It's important. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. So we have to put God, church, before even our job. So if our job is causing us to miss church, then we need to get another job. We need to get another job. If we can figure out a way to work our job and go to church, that's great. But we have to realize God comes first, even over our job, over our family, over anything. We got to go to church if we're going to be a Christian. Followers of Christ are commanded to do this, to do that in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And other places teach the necessity of that also. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you're not saved by faith only. You got to do the will of the Father which is in heaven to go to heaven. It takes more than just faith. It takes also obedience. And then Romans 10:13, we went over this last week, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, you cannot call upon the name of the Lord till you believe first. So you're not saved when you believe first, then you call upon the name of the Lord. According to the sequence of that passage, it's very clear. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? You got to believe first, then you call, and you got to call to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're not saved by faith only. You're not saved at the point of faith. You're saved when you call upon the name of the Lord after you have faith. And we saw from Acts 22:16 what calling upon the name of the Lord entailed, and that was being baptized. Saul was told, arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord involved believing and being baptized, doing what God said to do to be saved. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're not saved by faith only. You got to confess with your mouth to be saved, according to Romans 10:9-10. And confessing with your mouth can only be done honestly after you believe. It takes belief and confession, belief and calling upon the name of the Lord, belief and baptism, belief and repentance. It's not faith only. Everybody should know that. Buford from Atlanta, Georgia. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm confused because I'm looking at Ephesians 2:8-9, and it reads, by grace you have been saved through faith.
Then James 2:24 says you're justified by works. James 2:24 says you're justified by works and not by faith only. We know the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Here's the way you reconcile that, Buford. Ephesians 2:8-9,
The New Testament consistently teaches that salvation is a grace through faith in Jesus, not by works of rituals, including baptism.
Okay, but I just read to you a passage that says you're justified by works and not by faith only. So you got it wrong, Buford. That's not the solution. These verses don't contradict. You can't just ignore what you want to ignore. Ephesians 2:8-9, Buford, is discussing the grounds for our salvation. Not even our faith is the grounds of our salvation. Not our works, not our obedience. The grounds is the death of Christ. It's by grace. But that doesn't mean you don't have to do anything. The walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days. They had to walk, okay? But the walking's not walk, knock the walls down. But that didn't mean the fact that God knocked the walls down, Buford, didn't mean they didn't have to walk. And so Ephesians 2:8-9 is saying you're not saved by your works, not that you don't have to work, not that you don't have to walk.
Yeah,
Brother Smith from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted I was just concerned about John the Baptist, his baptism, and why did they have to get rebaptized? You know?
So John the Baptist's baptism was for the remission of sins, and they had to be rebaptized in Acts 19:1-5, because they had been baptized with John the Baptist's baptism after it was valid. They had believed based upon a belief that the Messiah was coming. Well, that was good at one time, but now you have to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's died and he's resurrected from the dead. So you got to be baptized based upon that belief. If you'd like a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me at your convenience, Call or text me at 256-682-9753.